continue to dive deep into the labyrinths of the committees, today we are meeting NEC. No, not the body part, but Network Committee. Who are they and what are they doing? Michael, main chair, and Carolina, their alumna, a member of iChair team, should know. So let's ask them. But before we get into NEC life and afterlife, tell me, how are you doing? Is there anything exciting happening during quarantine?
First of all, hello everybody. Welcome to this podcast. For me, during the quarantine, not much has changed. I'm still working on my thesis. I would be locked in my home anyway, so pretty standard.
Thank you for having me on this podcast. So the quarantine for me so far, it's been a challenge. The working from home, the bunch of restrictions, because I'm in Spain right now, so we have a lot of restrictions in terms of leaving the house and existing, but it's been a good time to rethink and to take a deeper introspection to our lives. It's been fun.
Yeah, but sometimes your reflections on life can get scary and depressive. So we're in all working mood right now. And my first question is, what is Network Committee? What is its structure? And what are you basically doing?
That's a lengthy question. Network Committee, as most people know, is one of the five committees that are supporting International Board in their daily tasks. We are supporting Tayana, the vice president, and we work mostly in the fields of HR, data analysis, so analyzing the service that ESN International has. Also, recognition of volunteers for those are the main fields. But a project or something that we do, and you probably know, are the Star Awards that were launched a few weeks ago, or the section, the national questionnaires.
Okay, so you are working on different projects, and we can see it throughout the network.
Yeah.
And other projects got really different since your time, Carolina, and your time, Michael. Is there something new or...
Well, I couldn't say currently because, to be honest, I'm not following. But yeah, I remember that back in my days, in around 2016, there was a big restructure inside of NEC because we felt like it was needed to give a more a specific support to the three levels of ESN, so international, national, and the local level. How that developed after, I'm not really sure because I haven't followed the work recently.
I think some projects are staying and have been going on for quite some time already, such as the Star Awards. And I mean, those probably also Carolina would be familiar with, but some of them are new. We started pushing for the recruitment toolkit. Now we have healthiness guidelines for events, which is something that was started, let's say, recently. And some projects were already finished before I even joined. I mean, it is a bit difficult to say, but all of them can be found in our history that we keep. So, I mean, if somebody would be really interested in the old projects, that's not a problem to find them.
Okay. I know about the project section in the spotlight. Before I entered communication committee, I was thinking about getting into NEC because of the section of the spotlight. Luckily, I have an opportunity to work with it in a press team. But is it a long tradition and has it somehow changed during the time of its existing?
I do not remember when the project started. I know that it has been going on for some time already.
Yeah, I can confirm that. He was there before I was. So.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, so I would say like at least 5 years, I think. But I mean, it has, of course, evolved. The forms that the sections have to fill has been changing. A week ago, we changed some very concrete details about the projects within the team. So there are some new things or new stuff coming in the future for the project as itself.
Oh, I'm very excited about this. So why did you choose Network Committee in the first place?
Well, I was very involved on the local level, and I felt there was a time for me to get also involved international level. And NEC was the one that I thought would match more my personality, my education, and the one that I felt that I can contribute more overall to the network.
It was very similar for me. I joined towards the end of my mandate in the local board. It was the one closest to me being a secretary or knowledge manager in my local section. And it felt kind of natural to continue with the network committee, even though I did the test online of which committee you're supposed to get in. I always end up with ITCOM, but I don't have the skills, so...
That's so funny because there's no, I mean, I'm feeling so old right now. I don't remember like any tests, like a peeking hat or something that it will do to find your committee. At the time, there were a lot of people at NEC. There were like really a lot of people at NEC, and the vibe was so great. Like people were so, you know, like outgoing and social, and everybody was so nice. It was like, this is my people. I need to follow my people. Maybe that's why I picked NEC.
I feel really confused right now and maybe old too, but I didn't know that test existed.
I don't know when it was launched, but I mean, it's been going around the social media for years, I would say. I don't know. I mean, I did it multiple times.
Oh my God, I joined this winter and I don't know about this at all.
No, but I mean, it's a bit older. I mean, I don't know when. I think at least a year or something.
Okay, so everyone listening, please go check the test and meet me there, because now I will find out that if I'm in the wrong committee or not. What is your favorite part of working in the team, in the NEC?
Michael?
It's very difficult to pick the favorite part. I really enjoy working with my chairing team, the atmosphere that we have and the chemistry, I would say. What I really appreciate about working in, let's say, in team in general, not only the chairing team, but also with the other members of the committee, is the different view they have on things and the different approaches we all take. Because even though you might have an idea how things should develop and how projects should go on, it always happens that somebody can say something and somebody else will add up on that. And then you all will together change the project into something much better than you had imagined before.
Yeah, for me, you know, to have all the different perspectives on a given project or on a given purpose. So we're all working towards the same purpose and seeing all these different people from different countries giving their input and, you know, like having, you know, discussions about it. It's great. I think it's super healthy and I think it's super constructive.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So, Michael, have you noticed how internationality influences your experiences?
Yes. It might sound a bit stereotypical, but there are differences in the way that people from different countries communicate. And I mean, I had team members that were from, let's say, southern countries and Nordic countries. And I mean, you see the differences. It's always in a very interesting way, but I mean, it is visible, whether you like it or not.
Okay, have you noticed, we talked with Kaspers about Nordic personality. Have you noticed this not smiling attitude?
Yes, in people, yeah, for sure. And I mean, I like it.
How do you think about your volunteering experience? So a lot of people view it differently. Some of them think that it's very professional and serious. It seems like some kind of internship. And some are trying their best, but, you know, there are more important things to do. They have their own lives. How do you see your activity in NEC? Or how have you seen?
I respect the people that see this as, you know, just volunteering. I get that. I respect that. But if there was a thing that ESN gave to me was the fact that I could learn tools, like get knowledge, learn tools, learn how to do stuff, practice to enter, you know, the real world. I always had a more, I wouldn't say professional approach, but I took it seriously because I'm committed. So I always committed to ESN and to the work that I was doing. I mean, I have no doubt that extrapolated out of the volunteering bubble into the professional world. And if you have that commitment and that type of attitude on a simple thing as just volunteering, that will lead you, that you will go places. Once you transfer that energy to the professional work world, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there are like three ways how you can look at volunteering. So, I mean, you have this professional where you really take it as the internship you mentioned, having just fun and doing it because, I don't know, you have nothing else to do. But then the third, and I think the one that I would also stick with the most, would be somewhere in between, where you do it because you really enjoy it, but whatever you do, you take seriously and you want to really deliver the results. And then you really focus on also the outcomes, because other people, especially in an international team, rely on your work. I mean, because if somebody doesn't do the task, somebody else will have to do it. And they already have their own task. I think really taking responsibility for your own actions, I think, is crucial. Mm-hmm. And it's really what I like to see when I'm working with people.
Yeah, just let me add this. I think that it's very important what you say, Michael, the fun part. Despite of everything, having fun, it's so important. It's so, so important to have fun, even if things are a bit more difficult, or even if, results are not, you're not achieving the result that you want. If you're not having fun in the meanwhile, there is also not the way to go.
Yeah, of course. There's nothing will happen if you delay something, or if you cannot finish something. I mean, it's all volunteering and it's fun. So yeah, I mean, if you're not having fun, then clearly there's something wrong.
Yeah, I mean, even if that means, you know, taking a step back or doing things differently. Through this is on ESN, I've seen so many different people, because I mean, at the end, we are all different, and some things do not work as well to one person and to another. So
yeah.
I mean, it's okay if you want to step back from like being on a chairing team of an international team or even on your local team. If that takes away the fun that you're having, just do it. Don't let the pressure hit you. Don't let what people say or think influence you. Just do what makes you happy and do what you're having fun doing. And if taking things too much seriously or too professionally takes away the fun of it, just don't do it.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, actually, that's a really nice point. I really like that even though you're from different levels and from different times, you still see it as the same. It happens a lot that members of the committees and the chairing team get it very differently, but I like the way that you get it the same way, you see it the same way. So there was always a question of communication between all the teams and even sections. So it's hard to pass the knowledge, and you as people who know how to do that, how does it look in your teams, and how does it look from the point of chairing team and a team member? Maybe you have got any tips for other committees how to connect between the members?
Connect. I don't know. I remember that the communication was very good. I think it's not easy to maintain a super good communication among everyone in such a big committee with such many, you know, levels within the committee and so many groups and so many teams. I think that overall, I had a good experience. That's what I can say. Things were pretty much, you know, transparent and clear, and people were approachable. The CT was very approachable at the time. I don't know how is it now.
Yeah, I think that one of the very crucial things you said is being approachable. It can be seen that the chairing team is somewhere on top of the committee and like deciding of everything, and like those three or more people somewhere in there. But that's something that I personally don't really like it, because I think for the communication between the chairing team coordinators or the members, what I value is being present, and for the members to know that I'm just one of you, just having some extra responsibilities, but I'm still a member of NEC and I'm just your teammate. Like being approachable, being honest, being transparent, I think that helps with the communication. Whenever there is something happening, just let us know, or we will let you know. Just talk about stuff, and then anything can be solved.
Yeah, I think there is a really nice point that you said, that all it happens that people see the chairing team as something very high above or as a higher level. It's really important to be approachable. And I'm happy to hear that your experiences are quite the same, that your chairing teams were really approachable. And you as a member of chairing team is very approachable.
I hope I am. I try to be.
Yeah, the next time we're inviting people from NEC to give their opinions on your chairing team.
Rate your chairing team on your podcast.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna make a season about NEC, you know.
Yeah, I told you there's a lot of people in NEC.
Yeah,
it was a lot of people in NEC, more than any other committee, I think.
Really? Really? How is it now, Michael?
I think currently we have around 50. I don't remember the exact number from the top of my head, but I think it was around 55. It varies.
Chairing team doesn't know how many members they have. Oh, it's a shame.
I mean, it's like 555 or 56.
Chairing team is just to command us, is not to be like a supreme god. So you are forgiven, Michael. This is my way to save your ass.
Okay. Thank you.
Why are you giving forgiveness for my shaming? Unacceptable.
Because we are good vibes. We are Neck. We are cool.
Okay, it's Neck supporting.
We are friends for everyone.
Everyone is like in quarantine or using Google Meets and Zoom sessions, but I think ESN International was trendy before it became viral. So what are Neck meetings like? What do you do there? It's like funny or working questions. What do you like about these meetings?
How was it before, Carolina?
Oh, well, you know, the typical like, guys, can you hear me? No, sorry. Guys, okay, sorry, just let me change my microphone. It's not okay. Someone is like, guys, I'm sorry, I'm so late, like people typing, or I don't know. I guess we were definitely, you know, surfing the wave of the Zoom meetings, not on Zoom. And even back then in 2016 or 15, we figured that it was very, very different. And hence the importance of the Neck meetings or like committee meetings,
yeah,
when you can actually have everyone in the same room and talk without technical issues or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we are so used to having everything online. For us, the transition to online meeting was, we haven't even noticed it because there's no other way for us to meet. But yeah, the importance of having physical meetings,
yeah.
I mean, it's really nice because everybody's there. You can just talk to the people the whole day. It's much nicer to see the faces and like connect with the people on a different level. But I mean, yeah, unfortunately, we won't have that now for some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I totally agree on the human interaction and bonding. Bonding is so important. Like, you get so much more productive once you actually know the people. Like, you go back home, your morale is completely different. You're much more productive. But yeah, like the brainstormings and all the decision making that you can do on a meeting, it's over the top. The amount of ideas and productivity that you can have like on a weekend, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like imagine what we could do if we were working like for 2 weeks straight, conquering the world for sure.
Yeah. I mean, online meetings can never replace the physical ones. I mean, even though they are really beneficial tool, replacing them, probably not possible.
As I know, meetings are usually take place in a ESN house. Was it always like that, or has something changed, or do you have any special Neck traditions that you do during the meetings?
I don't know. We had our meetings in the ESN house. I don't know. I can't recall.
I think it was in ESN house, and I mean the last one was as well. Some time ago, we had one joined with the HR and network community, which was in a hostel because it was organized together and we would be too many people to fit in the house. But I think other than that, no, it was the ESN house. Some tradition? I'm not really sure.
What do you enjoy the most about those meetings? I visited ComCom meetings. I loved eating on the staircase because there wasn't enough place for everyone. Do you have any warm memories of those times?
I can't think.
I mean, I think I enjoyed most the fun while cooking and just like the general conversation with people that are, because you're not talking about serious things, you're not talking about committee related thing, you're just chatting about whatever. And I think those are like the nicest moments.
Yeah, I really like when there's the cultural interaction, like sharing food and drinks, like different nationalities and stuff. It makes me go a little bit back on Erasmus again. So like when people bring their own drinks from the countries and some snacks, and that's always super cool for me.
Okay, cool. And we have mentioned that you took it as a possibility to grow and some kind of professional and serious thing, your engagement in Neck. Did it somehow change your professional life? Did it put some influence into it? Carolina, you're the one working now, so...
Okay, I'm the only one. It kind of, I wouldn't say it totally shaped the way that I took my professional life after, because I was involved in HR like way before that. Definitely it was a new approach. Having to work with people that I didn't know, like physically, I never, you know, met before, most of them, having to coordinate all that. Also the fact that most of the time that I was in NEC, we were thinking of the reshaping the internal form, the internal structure. Again, I wouldn't say it shaped the way that I follow my professional life, but it was, I think it was a very good experience. It was a very good experience in terms of putting my skills into practice, in terms of mindset, like looking at things differently. And yeah, I mean, that's what I do currently. Currently at my job, I take a lot of processes and I question them. And I try to understand if that's the right way to do things. And this is something that ESN really, really taught me how to do. Like not only NEC, not only like local level, nor not only being like local representative. But yeah, like that whole thing was complemented by NEC.
I think I would see it very, in some ways very similar, in some ways a bit different. Because for me, my, let's say, future professional life, as I study sciences and want to go into research, is a bit off from what I do in NEC, but I still am realizing that I've learned so many specific tools, so many specific things in NEC that I can actually implement in my professional life. It also steered me a bit in a maybe a bit different direction. So because I've, thanks to NEC and thanks to my ESN involvement, I really got into project management and those things, which is a bit unusual for a science student, but I really like it because it's a nice combination between completely different fields, but I can still benefit from being able to manage projects because a research is multiple projects following each other. It hasn't really changed what I want to do, but it definitely provided some assets that I can use in the future.
I think overall, ESN gives like this great project management skills. Like I totally feel it. Like if I'm not juggling between a lot of different projects at work, I feel like something missing. If I'm not like overloaded with stuff to do, I feel empty. I feel like something missing.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Finally, I can tell my mom that, yeah, it's important for my professional life. I will show this podcast as a evidence. Thank you a lot. Carolina, you're an example of like working persona. It was really super interesting to get acquainted with network committee and see the committee through your eyes. Actually, there is a life after ESN. Very interesting. Didn't expect that.
There is. Actually, not, like, now that you mentioned it, it's super funny because once you leave ESN, at least on my personal case, and I know of other people that felt the same, like on the first 2 months, you look at your weekend and you're like, so much free time. And then like you leave school or you leave your job like after 6:30 p.m. And it's like this endless, you know, amount of hours that you have until you go to sleep. Like, what do you mean I don't have meetings, or I can just, you know, have a normal dinner with my parents like a normal person, or I can, you know, hang out on the weekends and do stuff that are not ESN related, you know, like in the first 2-3 months, it's weird, like you feel weird.
Okay, something to look for, I guess. It sounds very strange.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah,
it's so much free time.
Thank you very much. Now I think I won't ever leave ESN if they allow me. Because it will definitely feel really strange.
But it's good. It's good. Like once you go after, you go past that phase, you're like, oh, this is like good. This is actually good. Like there's a life. Like there isn't a new reality. And it's good. After some day. It's weird, but it's different. You should take the risk someday. Like, someday you still have time, but
nah. Sounds not appealing. And so now that we know NEC, I would really love to know you as people better. I believe you are all very interesting personalities from what I heard. So it is time for 5 questions you can ask each other.
Okay, Michael.
Yes.
What do you think is the best time for to join ESN? And actually, when was your timing to join ESN?
I mean, as soon as possible. But I actually joined ESN very early in my student years. I think, yeah, it was second year of my studies that I joined ESN. I mean, I've been a member for almost 5 years now. I mean, I think there's just no time that is too soon or too late. I mean, whenever is right for you, just join. You cannot make a mistake by joining ESN. You will lose a lot of free time, but it's worth it.
That was deep. Thank you.
And so, Carolina, what was your favorite place to work at so far after you left ESN or even during the time you've been a member?
I wouldn't say I had a favorite place to work. I've been pretty involved on the startup scene in the past years and on the tech industry. And I would say that is my favorite place, my favorite industry to work at the moment, if that answers your question.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Interesting.
HR on the past years, I've been more and more involved with tech. And yeah, and taking a new approach, especially facing a more data perspective. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool. So I was just going to ask you, Michael, what is the first thing that you do in the morning? Do you have any ritual? Do you have anything specific that you do, or you just go with the flow?
Wow. I don't think I have a ritual. I mean, usually when I just wake up, the first thought that goes through my head is just how late is it and why do things. But I don't know. I just do tend to have breakfast every day. I mean, I just can't start the day without breakfast. So I guess a yogurt, muesli, and a coffee. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. And then heading to work, like rolling up your sleeves and get this shit done.
Yes. Yeah, just go to school, work, whatever, straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Carolina? What is the last thing you do before you go to bed? Do you have some night rituals or?
Not really. Like lately, I've been just putting some Netflix episodes until I fall asleep. I just, I put the laptop just close to me, the sound like very, very low. I put like those sleeping eye masks with a unicorn so I can feel special. We're going to sleep, like eye cover. And yeah, I mean, I just surrender to another day.
I like the unicorn mask.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not a unicorn. It's like a cat mixed unicorn. So it has like cat eyes, but like a unicorn horn.
Oh, wow.
So it's, yeah, it was... I think this is for children, to be honest.
Well,
but
does it really matter?
It does not. It was very, very glittery and very like colorful. And I was just like, fuck it. I want to buy it. And yeah, I'm a happier person now.
Nice.
Follow your dreams. So, Michael, which is the biggest dream that you have? Like the biggest?
I don't know. My biggest dream would probably be to just have a comfortable life with a challenging job somewhere with a happy family.
That's very millennial of you.
Well, what can I say?
nothing is fair. It's fair. Super fair.
No, but just to be happy with what I have and to have my family near and my friends.
That's cute.
That's like the ideal future. So Carolina, what is the main goal of yours in your life now?
Well, at this like precise moment, it's to go to the beach and take a swim because, guys, I've been locked down for more than 2 months now. At this moment, it's really going to the sea because this coronavirus situation, it's just too much.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm Portuguese. I need the sea.
Yeah, it was actually funny when I went to Portugal last year. And for so many people and so many also my friends that I spend my Erasmus with, they're like, it's not normal for you to just go to the beach. I mean, like, no, I'm from a landlocked country. We don't have the sea. Like, it's not something that I would ever think of, like going to the beach as the norm. It was very funny.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I was living in Czech Republic, it was like, how do you guys do in the summer? You know, like when it's hot and the weather is good, you just go to the grass and just lay there. You're like, yeah, like the closest beach is in Croatia. I'm like, what the?
That's it. That's what we have.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have lakes. It's not the same, but
yeah, I guess the concept is just different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, Michael, which Czech dish would you eat for the rest of your life? I could give you like an opinion on that.
Okay. That's very difficult. I mean, I guess it would be traditional svíčková with either a deer or a wild boar, because my grandparents are hunters, or sweet dumplings.
you know, that I did my Erasmus in Czech Republic, and
so what would be yours?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't pick one because it was so weird. Like the cuisine for me was so different. But I remember that I can't pronounce it. Chips, how was it? Potato pancakes, something like that.
Oh, bramborak, yeah.
Bramborak.
Probably. I mean, that's a potato pancake.
Yeah. I think it was. I don't know. It was weird, but it was good. I don't know. It was different.
Yeah.
It was fried, so we all know that fried is better.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very healthy Czech cuisine.
Yeah, it's not. It'll be something that I will introduce my Portuguese friends to in the Czech cuisine.
Carolina, since you're from Portugal, which team are you on? Lisbon or Porto?
That is a very unfair question. I like both cities. I'm closer, my hometown is closer to Porto, and I've worked in Porto in the past, and I have a lot of friends there. I also have a lot of friends in Lisbon. I really like the city. I would, I can't pick one, like I can't. Like Portugal has such a big amount of amazing places. I will recommend you, if you have the chance or whoever is listening, to visit my region, which is the Minho region. That's why I come from, yes, and Minho, which is very nice. It's very green. We have beach, we have the lake, we have mountains, we have the borders with Spain as well. So it's very diverse. If you go to Portugal, I will totally advise you to visit Lisbon and Porto, which are the pinpoints, but also to get a little bit outside the box and visit the northern region of Minho. And that's my final answer.
Okay. I visited both because I have, from my Erasmus, I have two Portuguese friends. One of them is from Lisbon. The second is from Porto. And I was like, okay, I mean, both cities are really nice.
They are.
I mean, I can't say I like one more than the other. I preferred Porto more because it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it felt smaller to me. While Lisbon is just a huge city.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very beautiful. But I don't know. It's just I like smaller cities.
They are very different. You know, like Lisbon has a lot of light and like tall buildings. And the vibe is complete. Like it's more open. It's more wide.
Yeah.
And Porto is just so, you know, those shady streets with the old buildings, and that has a different, you know, more romantic vibe, I'd say.
Yeah.
Lisbon is cool. Porto is classic.
Yeah. However cliche it might sound, Porto has just atmosphere that is just different.
Yeah.
But it's really nice.
Porto. Yeah. So my final answer is not, I'm not going to pick one of those.
Okay.
So when you think about Portugal, as you have some friends there, what are the first things that come to your mind?
I think hospitality would be the first thing. Sun, because I was there in December and it was still warm, which for me is strange. And I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Is pastel de natas?
Mm-hmm. Pastel de nata. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very, very Portuguese, at least to me. I mean, I tasted many different sweets because Portugal has a lot of sweet stuff. But I think pastel was the one that sticks to my mind.
That's cool.
And what about you, Carolina? What do you think of when you hear Czech Republic?
Oh, that's that's a very long road. I immediately think about my Erasmus experience, obviously. I think about all the cool people that I met and all the parties that I went and all the cultural shock that was for me at the time. That was my first Erasmus, and I went when I just turned 19, so it was like very young. I started, yeah, like my birthday's in June. I went on September. I was a baby and everything was super new to me, you know. I really felt a cultural shock on the food, on the drinks, on the way that people did things. But overall, great experience. I cannot take away the Erasmus from Czech Republic. It's obviously the first thing that I think.
I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed your time in Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And which city you went to?
Pilsen.
Oh, to Pilsen.
Mm-hmm.
The city of beer.
The beer, yeah. I would say my first, but it was a good like introduction to the beer school, you know, all the beer qualities. And
yeah,
it was good. I had fun.
So now that I know who is professional, who wears unicorn masks for the sleep, and who is a real millennial, I think I know who are you as a people.
Neck is full of authentic people.
Very strange people, okay?
Come on.
Authentic people.
Authentic. That's the word.
But I'm sleeping with a teddy bear. It's okay. Thank you very much. It was really nice to know you as people, to know about NEC. Actually, I think I got to know Portugal and Czech Republic better. So thank you a lot for this experience. I hope you enjoyed our recording and I can't wait to hear from you soon. So bye-bye. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you for, yeah, exactly. Thank you for inviting me. It was super nice and it was like this amazing a blast from the past, like going back to those days and remember how much fun I had. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.